Yeah, go ahead, ma'am. Go ahead. Yeah, I thought we lost you.
Hi, Peter. I wanted to find out what is being done as far as the air to sea European passengers. I know there are cruises that come air to sea through Barbados. There are quite a number of passengers. And what about flights from Europe, China, and other high-risk countries? Is there a plan in place to address those concerns?
Yeah, we don't have any flights from China. My understanding is that European journeys are focusing more on getting people back. So the latest information I have from Condor is that they are taking people back home, and they will only bring people to Barbados if they're Barbadians coming back to Barbados, but they are not accepting people who are going on holiday, for example. So that is the latest information that I have. I don't know that government has taken a position on China, and certainly right now it doesn't really matter because there are other areas that are more affected. But the feeling is that we need to keep the borders open at least long enough to get people in and out. As far as the AOCs are concerned, my understanding from a few days ago was that the intention is to get the AOCs back to Barbados and out of Barbados using their preferred method. So they would go to the airport on charters. That would have to be arranged, and they will continue to operate for the time being, but not operate to bring people on holiday, but operate essentially to get people home. You've noticed that the port is pretty busy. Sorry?
Yeah, any screening for potential employees, like airline workers who may have come into contact with any passengers who may are PUIs, persons under investigation, or have been, you know, possibly tested positive?
Well, my information is this, and it's an important question that you raised. It says because a lot of these frontline people are of the opinion that they may be infected. The temperature takers normally would wear the appropriate protective garments, and everyone coming into Barbados is screened, apparently, for the temperature. Unfortunately, we don't have the capacity to screen all of them for COVID, but we screen for the temperatures. And the frontline employees are cautioned to maintain certain distances, and I think that's the key thing. That it's difficult for the flight attendants and the crew to do that, but certainly beyond that, you would want to maintain your distance for employees. So, for example, immigration officers, security staff at the airport and so on would normally be told not to get too close to passengers as they come off. And that's a principle that perhaps all of us need to be following now, you know.
Right, exactly. But I think that, look, as Barbadians, we will weather the storm.
Of course,
but we will not weather the storm and come out on the other side if we don't take it seriously and we don't join together.
You know the good thing about this crisis, if there's a good thing, if there's a silver lining, that this is one time, this is a historic moment where all of we in this together. There's no country on earth that can claim, oh, it's one or not us. Everybody in this together. And in the same way that we responded globally to the HIV crisis, when we realized that it was all of us in it together and not just a certain set of people, I think that that's the same kind of reaction that globally we will need to have now. Because everybody understands, you know. Yeah. All right, ma'am, thank you for calling and for raising those important issues. This is Down to Brass Tacks, 4341790. Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. Someone is suggesting to me here that the some of the businesses, like the same Uncle George I mentioned, I'm not here advertising for Uncle George. I do like him, but it's not like I'm advertising. Need to consider the viability of home delivery. That is an interesting point to make. However, one of the benefits of oystins is freshness. Freshness delivered to you to the point where you know that those fish were swimming an hour or 2 hours ago, and now they're on your plate in front of you. So there's a freshness. It's difficult to replicate that when you have to do home delivery, because you don't want to eat grilled food which is not fresh. That's going to be a challenge, and it is difficult to understand how that works. The other thing is that for a number of people who go to oystins, they go for the atmosphere because they can eat food home. I have left good swordfish at home that I buy from my lady down in the market, and she knows who she is. I go on to oystins to eat swordfish because it is the atmosphere you want, and unfortunately, all of that is gone for the time being. This thing is going to be really, really hard on us. It really will be. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. Okay, so one says on a global level, I don't think there's a sense of we're all in this together. It definitely feels that there's a sense of every man for himself. And that's probably a sad reality, sir, that every man is really every man for himself, which is kind of sad because it would be better if we took that global approach and said we're all in this together. Down to brass tacks.
Yes, in relation to the people who have the shop lines and the South Side, I can see it can have an impact on their sales because a lot of people actually gather. If you go to the airport, you see more than 100 people at the airport to check out. What are they going to do about that situation? The next thing is the church got a loan to pay in relation to remodeling the building. The staff got to get paid, reverend got to get paid, utility bills got to get paid. And if the people don't go into the church, well, something going to happen.
You don't so tithe? You don't play a tithe?
The tithes and the offering, right? The tithes and offering, they got to pay with the credit card if they're going into church. And they're watching this online.
But you can still drop off your contribution.
Oh,
in the days, when I was a church person, we used to make a commitment, not a tithe. We used to make a commitment that we're going to pay every month X amount of money because we are members of a church, of an institution. And the idea is that even if you don't go, you should still send the envelope, which I think is entirely reasonable. Because I agree that I know a number of churches have taken substantial loans to repair the properties on the assumption that they're going to have that monthly stream of revenue coming in. And if people are not going, the revenue lapses. So they are also going to need help in the same way that the hotels and things are need help because they also have bills and loans to pay. And then the priest, of course, has to be paid. I mean, there's no question that the priest will have to be paid. So...
And finally,
I would encourage though, ma'am, if you're a member of a church.
Of course, I am. I'm a Methodist.
You're a Methodist too,
I know your mom.
Okay.
My last question to you.
So, ma'am, hold on a second. If you are a part of the Methodist circuit, then you would also be familiar with the envelopes. They used to be blue.
Yeah, I do.
Right. So. Certainly, you should still send the envelope, even if you don't go to church. I would encourage church members to continue to make contributions to the work, because the church's work will continue. It's just that it will not be in the building. And then whenever the time comes, and we bounce back, you know. So
And the fellas in the Dunbar Hill Street going to be in problems because they can't pull the bonnets no more.
Well, that's probably one of the benefits, no?
They've got money in the pocket.
Just remember, though, ma'am, that their pulling bandits also allows people who are employed in those industries to be paid. So if they don't pull the bandits, they're not going to drink the beers and the rum and so on in the place. So the bartender can't get paid. And the lady that works behind the booth selling quarters or dollars, she also can't get paid. And the person who owns it that has to pay rent, he also can't pay the rent. And he has children to send to school. So it's a trickle-down effect.
Yeah, and not only that, the boy that touching their hand is not in trouble because they don't...
We could get some hand sanitizer for the handles. The handles is the least of the problems. The problem is that they're going. So the point I'm making to you, ma'am, is that we shouldn't judge whether your communal activity is church or your communal activity is gambling. I think it's irrelevant, really. The point is that no one can have communal activity now. So the gamblers feeling it and the church people feeling it. And I think that they're both legitimate areas of enterprise that will need some assistance in terms of getting through this.
Yeah, anyhow, we're going to put the Lord in front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You were saying something else, though, ma'am? Sorry, I interrupted you.
That's about all. I just want to say hello to you because if things like that happen now, I can't see if you're big or you're going to be, if you're big or if you're fat. Because you might get isolated too.
Okay, well, maybe you might see me in the church one of these days. My mother might twist my arm and drag me in again. All right, Mama, thanks for calling. This gentleman is saying, Peter, I'm a coach driver. As it relates to the AC transfers, the various flights are coming in empty and the passengers now on board the cruises are being transferred to the airport. And then ships can now be seen outside the port in open waters, presumably waiting to let passengers off. So that is the situation with the air sea transfers. Down to brass tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Peter, we need to focus on the health of Barbadians and keep that focus in place. But we also need to start thinking and putting plans in place with the economic fallout that will inevitably follow. Mm-hmm. And I speak from a background of experience. I was director of sales at Haywood's when the Gulf War broke out in January 1991, I believe it was. Our occupancy went from 85% occupancy to 44% occupancy in 7 days, mm-hmm. resulting in massive financial losses and massive layoff. We had to have a meeting with the union and put the books on the table, as it were, mm-hmm. so that they really realize the issue. Now, I also had experience with the outbreak of SARS, what that did to the industry. And I also had experience as a manager with the outbreak of the H1N1 virus and the impact that it had on the industry. And when I say the industry, that it had on the hotels directly. But remember,
H1N1 was the avian flu?
What I refer to is swine flu.
Swine flu. Oh, that was the pig flu. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the point that I'm making is that you can't isolate the hotels. Hotels are part of the community.
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
And they employ people who are part of the community. So there is a big trickle-down effect. You have taxi drivers. You have beach attendants, some beach vendors. So there are a whole range of other people who are affected by the fall-off in business at the hotel. So the hotel and its owners and the managers and the hotel staff are not the only ones impacted in a negative way. Mm-hmm. The government, and in this case, not only the government, the financial institutions who are holding mortgages on properties and so on are going to have to sit down and discuss and come up with reasonable solutions over the long term, reschedule debts or whatever they have to do. Because any financial institution now that sticks hard and fast with the issue as it is, and I think we are at the tip of the iceberg, it will probably get worse before it gets better. If you stick up for hard and fast, you're going to end up with a massive amount of foreclosures and a lot of properties on your hand that nobody cannot afford to buy. So let common sense prevail and sit down. And I'm saying to the owners of businesses and so on, don't wait till the banks come to you or till your financial institution come to you. Go to them and say, this is what my situation was. And the timing could not have been worse for the hotel and tourism sector in Barbados, because this is the height of the tourism season. Mm. When your rates are higher and you tend to make more money, mm-hmm. and some of that same money is then held in reserve to carry you through the leaner months.
Yep, which are upon us shortly.
Yes, which was upon us shortly. So the timing could not have been worse. So there's a lot of work to do, mm-hmm. and a lot of soul searching to do among business people.
I agree with you.
Government.
Yeah.
And so on, because this is not business as usual.
It's not.
And we were able to recover fairly quickly from the fallout of the three things that I've mentioned to you. I am not sure that we're going to be able to recover so quickly from the coronavirus issue, because it is so widespread throughout the world.
Yeah. Because that was the point I was going to ask you about, the difference between H1N1 and
they were relatively short.
The SARS, right, yeah. And they were also relatively clustered in terms of...
Clustered, exactly.
Yeah.
But this coronavirus now is worldwide. I mean, mm-hmm. you talk about Italy, talk about Spain. Yeah. Those are countries from where we draw not a lot of tourists, but we draw tourists nevertheless. Canada.
United Kingdom, which is our main market.
Yeah. United States. So we really need to sit down and put our heads together. And as the lady said, this isn't a B, not a D. This is a B. This is a Barbadian problem.
Yeah. No, it's a global problem, and it has Barbadian implications. And
exactly.
What I worry about is that a lot of people are going to start drinking heavily as a result of this.
But that's not the answer either.
Yeah, that might not be the answer, but at least it will help you sleep better at night.
Well,
I mean, this is a huge headache here in the offing.
It is a massive headache.
It is not like a hurricane where you can say, okay, the hurricane has passed, let's start talking about rebuilding. The problem is that you don't even know when this thing can end or how much worse it can get.
The thing about a hurricane is, at least you're getting some front warning on the and you know that after 72 hours, after 72 hours, it's past you, and you can start putting things
in place
to reconstruct and mitigate
the situation. When you had the hurricane, the last hurricane, people from Dominica could say to people from Barbados, all right, let me come and scotch by you for a few weeks. The challenge here is that you can't turn to nobody, everybody the same thing.
Or we could put some people on a ship.
Yeah.
And some
bottles
of
water.
And send down there to help them.
Yeah.
But this is a serious matter, and it needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed seriously. And I get very upset when I hear people trying to make little of the challenges that we will face as a country going forward.
You know, my one thing that I have thought about, I've always been very flippant regarding this whole idea of food security, because I've always felt that food security is having sufficient money to buy the food that you need. And those who listen to me on the program knows I'm not a huge agriculture fan, where I have often felt that we can do better things with our property. My sense is that coming out of an issue like this, a place like Dominica is in a better position than a place like Barbados, because they can feed themselves for a pretty long time. We can probably not feed ourselves for very long. And when supply lines are broken,
we are in trouble because
our supplies of food and different other resources from Miami especially is going to be under pressure.
The bulk of it is important. I remember as a child growing up, my parents telling me about the war. In World War II, apparently, the government passed a law or a decree or whatever that plantations of over a certain size had to plant 10% of whatever acreage they had in food crops. So you had plantations being forced to plant 10% of their acreage in food crops. Well, there are not a lot of big plantations around anymore, and I'm not sure if the sunset on that law has set in. But we are really going to have to start paying attention to some food security and grow whatever possible that can grow productively and cost effectively in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
Maintain some semblance of security going forward, because Barbados will never be able to produce all the food that we will not be able to grow all the food that we need. So we need to look and see what we can grow here that is cost effective and go forward. But
I think part of my challenge is that I always assume in some conception that you have crisis that will hit individual countries, but I never thought that we would have a global crisis of this nature. This was not anywhere within my contemplation, and as I said, it informed a lot of my views on food security, but I accept that, you know, there are times when you experiences teach you important lessons, and the point is you got to take on the learning, and I am prepared to take on this learning that there's an issue of food security that we probably need to address.
This is a major issue, and it needs to be addressed in a sober, constructive, and critical way, because it has long-term impacts. It will have a long-term impact on our financial ability and the state and our quality of living and a whole range of other things going down the road. I mean, we talk about shops and bars and so on. Look at Hoistons. You know the impact. Some vendors that
for your whole week, right?
Their only source of income is that Friday night issue in Hoistons. Now, when you take that away from them, you have now taken away their only source of income.
I know a lady who told me that is all she does. And she says that she was working other ways, but what she does is that she prepares herself for the week. She buys her produce and she seasons it and so on. And she goes on there and she makes enough money to feed children and so on to get through the next week. Yeah.
And looking at that from that micro impact, the same with the hotels. Hotels make a lot of money between November and May, and to put some of that money aside, and that money would take them through June, the dead months, June, July, August, September, where you might get a little boost in July and early August because of crop over, but the other periods are lean. So what you make in the winter keeps you open through the summer, and you spend some money to refurbish it, and then you take advantage of the downturn to refurbish your rooms and so on, and come back and get ready again for November, December. Now, millions of dollars have already been lost. If you replicate what a fellow with 9 rooms have lost in terms to his B&B, in terms of calculations, you replicate that to a hotel at Hilton with 300 and something rooms.
Yeah.
And you can then start to imagine
the impact,
the challenges that we as a country will face going forward.
All right, sir. Thank you for calling. It was a good conversation. I think that you cued us into a number of important issues that we have to understand. So thanks a lot for calling. Dr. Brassatz, we have 10 minutes remaining on the program. 4341790. No word on the progress of the count in Guyana, the recount. Last thing I heard was that there was agreement to start the counting with Region 4. Of course, we've heard that long before the agreement has been signed, but I have no word on whether the count has started or alternatively whether any information has been released regarding progress. Dr. Brassatz, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Beckham. How are you?
How are you doing, Strakers? How is it?
So you're back on the radio on a weekly basis now?
I'm on the radio whenever Dennis tells me. So I look to Dennis weekly for instructions. I was instructed to be here this week, and I will be here next week. Is that correct, Dennis? Yes, I will be here next week. So.
Right, but you know there was a pronouncement that you would be on every other week.
Because that was the information I had at that time.
Well, if it has changed, then you should at least say that.
Well, sir, you know, they say that sometimes you don't know the day, the time, or the hour.
Well, that is
so what I do is I am prepared. I am always prepared. I am prepared at a moment's notice to come.
Okay, well, then you say that. You will be coming, you get a call.
No, it's usually Tuesdays, but we've been having some changes recently. There are a lot more moderators now. And to be perfectly honest, I don't think that Dennis knows often from week to week what, you know, situations will present itself. So, anyhow.
Mr. Beckham, people were speculating as to if we would get it.
What, the virus?
The virus. I was saying, well, when? Because I can't see it being worldwide. We involved in travel and everything, and it not coming here. So I was always certain that sooner or later it would come. But now that it is here, and we realize that we got to make some changes and things to handle it as best as we can. Up to the other night, I speak on it, that it's good that it is not developing in the particular countries because all the cases you hear have been imported. So obviously, if we're doing the screening and we're doing anything, we could keep out as much as possible. So from that point of view, I think that we should be able to handle it.
Are you happy with the reaction thus far?
No, it show up. Something though, Mr. Beckham. The Dos Santos lab, which decade that was built in?
So I don't know.
That you don't know?
You just tell me, I don't know. Are you making the same lost decade point? So you're saying that we have the...
No. You don't jump to conclusion. I ask you.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. And you don't have a lot of time, so let's move quickly. You tell me.
You see, when you hit a nail on the head...
You tell me, Mr. Strakers, when was it built?
I am very glad that jump out at you.
Where was it built?
It was built in the correct decade you just called. So you knew. And it is amazing... how many things that was built in that same decade that are lifesavers today. And I would like me to take a look at a few, right? Only a few. The Lloyd Erskine Sandyford Center was rebuilt and put there in the same decade.
That wasn't, no.
Mr. Beckham?
No.
Mr. Beckham?
No, the last decade was 08 to 2018.
Exactly.
Sir Lloyd preceded that decade.
Listen to me, Mr. Beckham. Mm-hmm. I said it was rebuilt. Remember?
It wasn't rebuilt. It was refurbished a little bit. It wasn't rebuilt.
No, it was never
It was built in the previous last decade.
No, Mr. Beckham.
Because we had two lost decades this time. The thing is, the last decade, only 7 years.
Mr. Beckham, just
because
hold a minute.
Because the cut went short.
Just hold a minute.
I want to cut one itself short because it was some of y'all that voted against itself in 94.
Mr. Beckham, just hold.
Yes, sir.
And it remained there for 14 years untouched.
Yes.
It was incomplete. So it wasn't finished. It was never finished. But lo and behold, today.
It was finished. It's just that the backside was old. So it tells me that we have to move on since you dropped the level of conversation into the. into the dirt. Down to brass tacks, good afternoon. 55 minutes past the hour of one. Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. 55 minutes past the hour of one. Remember, we have only 5 minutes remaining. We have about 3 calls on the line. Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. All right.
Right. I just want to first start by commending our Prime Minister of Barbados, Mia Moore-Martley, for being the voice and working and being at the front line. And I pray for her health as well, that she remains healthy in this time. My concern as a pedestrian who catches the public transportation, I've been, we talk about social distancing, but it takes just one person to pass on the virus. Mm-hmm. And we're packed in these dead areas, and we're packed in the minibuses, and sometimes the windows are closed, and we're in traffic bumper to bumper. And you literally, you're a little scared because you know what it can happen. My other concern is for our hospital, because the virus does not always, it does not immediately manifest symptoms. And a person could go in there for one reason and eventually manifest. Yeah. And if you're talking about those that are vulnerable because of their health conditions, that will be our QEH. So those are just my concerns. And thank you, Mr. Wickham, for mm-hmm. conducting a wonderful program.